your neighbor. What? You don't like your neighbor? How are you, buddy? I love you, girl. It's good to see you. Okay, it can't be all fun and games this morning. Well, well, well. And by the way, that doesn't count against my time preaching. That's all on you guys, okay? I see you back there, Mr. Carell. I know you're checking that. There's no beeper for sermons. That's for class, all right? So for the next little bit, I want to tell you it's good to see you, good to be here this morning, and I want to share just a little bit of some of the things, the struggles that I'm having and that I'm seeing from young to old. I get to focus a little more time on the college age, but we spend a lot of time together in relationship and research and seeing some struggles in our lives with our relationship with God. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that this morning, so if you would hang with me. The direction I want to go is how advertising, and this is... You know, I mean, you're not going to find all of this written down somewhere. It's some things I've been studying and watching and reflecting on, but how it's affecting our relationship with God and ultimately with one another as we are inundated with advertising every day. So if you will stay with me through this time this morning, I will try not to be overly lengthy. Let's pray together. Lord, it's so good to be here. It's good to be together in your family. It's good to be together and know, Lord, that you're present, and that's the thing that makes us so unique, Lord. Father, the groups that meet everywhere for everything, but Lord, we're different because of you, and we're reminded of Moses when in Exodus you told him after the incident with the golden calf that you're not going to go with them any longer, because if you did, you might strike them down along the way. And Moses said, something so true. He said, what makes us different than anybody else if not for you? And Father, we claim you as our true identity and you as our real hope, because you make all the difference and you are the difference. You're our very life, God. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us to see and to understand the things that get in our way, the things that we don't even notice. And Father, I know that this isn't the complete truth, and it isn't the final word on these things, but I thank you for the direction you've taken this lesson, and I pray that you'd move me out of the way now, and you present it so that we all would be encouraged and grow together in you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. So, in doing some research, and we talked about this a little bit a few years ago, just about advertising and how much that you are inundated with every day. The low number that is out there would say that you deal with between 250 and 5,000 advertisements a day. That's the low number. A bit of a high number, but the direction that a lot of people tend to go is between 5,000 and 20,000 advertisements a day. Now you should go, what? Wow, seriously? Because an advertisement is meant to bend you some way. It's meant to change your thinking or to somehow cause you to rethink something that you've been thinking. They want to sell you something. 5,000 to 20,000, depending on what you do. You're driving down the road. You're watching TV. You're reading a magazine. You're on the computer. You're listening to the radio. You're being overwhelmed with advertising. Man, that is a lot of information. Your brain is on overload without you ever even trying to take anything in. It's just happening to you all the time. And the natural question would be, well, what's the big deal? How does that affect my relationship with God? How does that matter at all? And I said, well, just think about some of the advertising. It's a bit dated, but have it your way, right? That's the one that is really a big deal. Do you, it's your time. It's about you, live in the now. All of this is all focused at me and telling me that I can have life. I could have something on my own if I would just buy the product, do the thing. But in it, it's training me in another way. And I'll share that with you a little bit as we go. Did you know that WSAZ-TV is mine? I mean, did you know that it belongs to me? I mean, it says so. It's my Z. It's even cool. I mean, it's my Z. They don't even call themselves WSAZ anymore. It's my Z. Jamie's Z is Jamie's show. You understand, just for a moment before I press on here, how dangerously addictive and selfish my life is becoming just by listening to advertisements telling me how important I am? No desire, really, to do anything for me. It's just if they can lure me in to buy their product, yeah, they separate me from my money, but they are doing something psychologically to me that's very dangerous. How about the makeup industry? Paper-thin girls, man, telling you that's how life ought to be, and the whole point is so you notice that you are ugly. And if you just bought the product, just give me your money and you'll be beautiful. And you don't see that part of it. What you see and what we see is I don't look like photoshopped chicks on TV. It's I don't look like girls in the makeup commercial, and guys are looking at girls, and so I don't measure up. And they're doing something to you. You can be if you just had something. Pizza Hut, did you know that Pizza Hut is blowing up the world of hand-tossed pizza, blowing it to the sky? They're blowing the world of hand-tossed pizza to the sky. Like, think about that. The implications of really blowing the world of hand-tossed pizza to the sky. I mean, that would be a catastrophe. Someone's dying. I don't believe them. But they are introducing us to their all-new blow-your-mind hand-tossed pizza. That's a crazy pizza. This pizza blew my mind. And it's not just that. It's got so many toppings. And now it's brushed with garlic buttery goodness. Are you serious? I'm like, I don't want to finish the sermon. I want to go get a pizza right now. I want my mind blown. I want to say boom, and everything's up to the sky. And of course, if I said Red Robin, you would say, yeah, I mean, it's just natural, right? Or give me a break, give me a break, break me off a piece of that, yeah, that Kit Kat bar, a little old school, but you got it, right? And how about the Geico commercial? You know, the woodchucks are out chucking the wood in the water, and the old dude drives by and says, hey, you woodchucks, quit chucking my wood, and you're laughing hysterically at those dudes, and then they say, a Geico 15 minutes could save you 15% or more in car insurance. Really? It could save me 15%? And so I'm on the phone, and you see, all the smooth-talking advertisements, they make great and bold promises, but then they can change your life. But then there's this fine print. There's this thing that they read really fast at the end of the commercial, and you don't really understand what it says, but it says, we really aren't going to be able to do what we say we're going to do, but if we don't do what we say we're going to do and you buy into it anyway, we can't do anything about it. Sorry, your life stinks, and we got your money. We really couldn't change anything for you. Well, what does that really matter to Christians? How does that impact us at all? Well, advertising is the great letdown. Because if they repeat things enough to us, we're brilliant enough and dumb enough to believe it. You're psychologically predisposed to repetition and believing it just because it's out there. You believe it just because it's out there and it keeps happening. Man, these dudes have paid thousands, millions of bucks to tell me this week. It's got to be right. I mean, after a while, subconsciously, you start buying into it. And then you find out every day when you look in the mirror, I don't think that wrinkle's any better. It ain't burning that fat off. Listen, a little secret about growing older. If God didn't pry our lives out of our hands, we would never let it go and go home. And so he says, I can't leave you looking like that. I can't leave you hanging on like that. I can't leave you thinking that life is in that. I can't let you have it like that. You'd never want to come home. And so he changes us a little every day. He lets our lives not make up for it. While it ebbs away on the physical, the spiritual and the inward keeps growing more beautiful and more full and more alive, right? And there's some folks you can look at and someone who just meets them, they shake their hand, and when they walk away, they say, man, that dude's old. And you're like, I didn't even see it, because you're with them every day and they're so beautiful you can't even notice. But if the Lord didn't take it from us, if we didn't grow a bit dissatisfied here, we'd never want to go home. But the advertising sells us that lie that we are in control of all this. We can be in control. If you would just buy it and sell it, or buy it and have it, and then we find out it's not true. It all gets old. It all loses its fire. None of it lives up to its billing. And here's where it affects us as Christians and how it affects the world by us as Christians. See, as Christians, we develop our own kind of cliche advertising. Something cool, something slick, something smooth, and we begin to peddle Jesus or his love and faithfulness to us. That's how we approach all of it. If I can just make it cool enough, they'll listen. If I can just be cool, they'll like me, and then maybe they'll hear my message. And so we say things like, oh, just let go and let God. Right? I'll just let go and let God. And it all becomes a quick cliche. I'll be praying for you. Maybe you've heard that one before. Maybe you've said it. And then a month later, you see them, and they're like, oh, yeah, I was praying for that. I'm glad that worked out. What about WWJD? I mean, not that any of this stuff is wrong in itself, but it all becomes such a sales pitch. It becomes such smooth talk. How about push, pray until something happens, or frog, fully rely on God, or I just feel it in my heart. You know, when I was a kid growing up, and when I point a finger, my mom would say every time you point your finger, there are three fingers pointing back at you. And I always thought it was God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And then I realized, it's just me. I wasn't three. I mean, everything gets spiritualized by Christians, right? I mean, we internalize it all, and we make it weird. God just spoke to my heart. Jesus loves you. I mean, listen to all of this. It's not that it's not true, but when we are absolutely overwhelmed by advertising that never lives up to its billing, and then Christians say these things with no light in their eyes and no fire in their heart, and they don't mean it sincerely, it's just a cliche, it doesn't mean anything, I'm praying for you, bless your little heart, Jesus loves you. If you were the only one on earth, God would have died for you. Well, of course he would have, but can you tell me more than that? Is this just a quick advertisement? God just wants me to be happy. There's another one. And do you know that we as Christians made mugs and calendars with nothing more than the words, the prayer of Jabez, on them? Someone made a big profit with the mug that said the prayer of Jabez on it. We're peddling Jesus. We peddle God as if he were just another thing we're trying to sell. And what does all of this matter? Because you know the truth about advertising. You know someone's just trying to sell you something. They're selling you it for their own good. And as much as you want to believe it, I really want to believe it, and so here's my money. Shoot, my hair's still getting gray. As much as we want to believe it, we know it's not really coming around. And so we tell these stories about Jesus. we tell these stories about how good he is and how wonderful he is, and people just don't believe it, right? It's slick advertising. It's smooth talking. It really doesn't have the power that it's supposed to have because it's just a cliche to us. We never walk and talk and share and be. And for those of you who struggle with this today, and I'm telling you, there are those of us struggling with it. And for sure, I want you to know the world is struggling with it, with Christians who life has become nothing more than the latest cliche. Finding something really cool in the word even, but making it all cliche. No power, no life behind what you're saying. For you, that is a real struggle. And I want you to know that God has something for you. See, he really isn't just the advertisement. He's not just a bunch of empty words and unfulfilled promises. He didn't just tell us of his love. He showed it. And this is what the world wants to know. And this is what you want to know when you're struggling with this reality today. In 2 Corinthians 5, the scripture reading this morning, it says, "Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you, wow, an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer to those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but live for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them." Listen to that. It's so powerful. "And he has commended to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." It's more than a cliche. It's a reality. Jesus died for you, and he died for me. And he didn't just die for us. In his dying, he saved us. He switched our sin for his righteousness. And then he gave us a purpose. We are ambassadors. Our job is to tell the truth. It's not a one-liner. We're not insurance or car dealers, man. We are telling a truth that changes lives forever. Jesus came to die for you. He came to love you. He came to give you purpose and hope. And when the people of his time saw this, I mean, it drove them nuts. They chased him everywhere. They wanted to be around him all the time. They'd say things like, "He has done all things well," or, "Wow, he teaches with such authority." And the Pharisees would say, "Look how the whole world has gone after him." I mean, it's more than a one-liner. It's more than a quick cliche. Jesus is changing lives. He's doing something, man. He's moving and he's alive. And that's the message he wants us to tell. And it goes on. 1 John 3:1, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are." Exclamation point. Boom. He's blowing the world of hand-tossed pizza up for real, right? I mean, there's an exclamation point at this, the end of this. "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." And the reason the world doesn't know us is that it didn't know him. They don't know what to look for. But I'm telling you, you are his child. That's not a cliche. That's not a one-liner. That's identity. You belong in the family. And the world needs to hear that message. John 15, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." He's not a cliche. He's doing something. "Oh, Jesus loves you. I'll pray for you. Bless your little heart. Let go and let God. Fully rely on God." Come on, you really can do all those things because he did something about it. "I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I've made known to you." Romans 5, 6 through 8. "You see, at just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man, some might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates, shows off, man, he made it known, his own love for us in this. Even while we're sinners, while we're lost, while we're a mess, before we even knew Christ died for us. Man, what a story, what a truth. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. I know you as dads and moms have said, or if you're someone who's not married, who don't have kids, you've heard your parents say, man, when you're sick, I just wish I could take this myself. I would rather take it myself. Well, let me explain something to you about, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. His son. He gave his son. Man, he so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. He didn't send his son into the world to condemn. He sent him to save. And for those of us who struggle with the used car approach to God, the slick talker, I hope this helps show that he isn't peddling himself. And we shouldn't approach sharing him or discipleship in that way either. But there's some other things afoot, something more sinister than just the used car salesman. Because advertising affects us in a lot of other ways too, right? It can make us suspicious of God's love and condition us to never... It makes us very suspicious. And it conditions us to never show ourselves as weak. Never let them see you fail because you're a winner, right? You eat Wheaties for breakfast, for crying out loud. It's the breakfast of champions. You wear dry idea antiperspirant. You never let them see you sweat because you have it all together. You never show yourself as weak. We never show ourselves like that, and after a while of wearing that mask, we begin to believe it ourselves, or at least a little bit, right? Then to numb ourselves to our weaknesses and failures and shame and pain, we just ignore it all and focus on the mask we're wearing. This is who I really am. We're faking it. We're not living a real life. We're hiding from God and hiding from ourselves. We refuse to truly look at ourselves and who we are. The pain we cause and the selfishness and insecurity and the distance from our living God and all that we cause others becomes really catastrophic to us. When I fail to look at myself and to allow God to introduce me to me, in hiding from myself and from you, I am also hiding from him. And the distance I cause causes me to struggle with his love for me. See, advertising telling me that I have it together, I am all right, I am okay, I don't have to let you see me sweat, actually causes me to begin hiding. And when I'm hiding from you and I don't show myself as who I am, and Jason says so well up here for the communion, when you don't know it, when I don't show it, then ultimately I begin hiding from God. I already am. And when I'm hiding from God, the distance that is happening here, as we would say, I'm struggling with God's love for me. Of course I'm struggling for God's love for me because I am so distant from him. I won't be honest with myself. And when I'm not honest with myself, I know one thing. I'm a liar. I'm a deceiver. And when I know that about me, then the next thing I do is begin to project onto him. He doesn't love me. He doesn't like me. He doesn't want to be around me. And there's another one. It also deceives me into thinking that to be a good father, I need to provide for my family and be the best at everything. Be the model dad or the model mom or the model whatever. I wear Nike and just do it is my motto. In fact, that's just exactly who I am. Whatever needs to be done, you can count on me. I just do it. If I can't come in first, I'm going to make the guy who finishes first break the record, right? I mean, I wear the shirt. I'm cocky. I know the mottos, and that's who I am. I live an advertisement life. You tell me what to be, and I'm going to be it. Provide the best house, best vacations, clothes, schooling, sports equipment, best memories, because, of course, Disneyland told me that the best memories are at Disneyland. And I feel kind of guilty that I can't take my daughter there because I don't have the money to do that all the time. I have long talks. I'm at every ball game. I say no to drugs and tell her to say no to drugs. And I know that to be a very respectful adult, to be a very respectful adult, I prove my love by protecting my family by driving the newest Honda or Dodge or Chevy or Ford or GMC or Chrysler or Mercedes or Toyota, because they care for me. I mean, you've heard them, right? On TV, they care so much for me and my family. And it's not about image, okay? It's not. It's about me caring for my family, so I buy the right stuff. And by doing this stuff, by living this way, by buying into this cliche identity, this sales pitch identity of what life really is, I find myself so busy, I can't do anything for God anymore. I mean, I'm always trying to keep up. I've got to work to provide. I've got to be at everything. My kids got to be at everything, or else they are nobodies. And so after a while, this guilt and shame begins to add up, and I start showing up at church out of guilt and shame, right? And all my efforts are not really anymore to see God or to honor Him. I really want to. I mean, I want with all of me to honor God. But you're in my face, and I'd rather you think I'm okay. And so I just hide it. And I put in my money. I go on mission trips. I tell everybody all that I'm doing because I want you to feel good about me. Inside, I'm empty and hollow because I'm chasing that life. Inside, I'm really falling apart. I'm so close to becoming a legalist. Everything I do is out of duty and shame and guilt, trying to earn favor with God and high praise of man. Isn't this what this is about? Driving the right stuff, getting credit for doing the right things, getting honor for being. My kids are proud of me. My wife's proud of me. I'm dying inside. See, the first point we made is about a struggler who can't sense his love because the advertising has failed him. And Christian advertising has failed him. You've heard it on K-Love. Just remember this morning as you go out to work, God really loves you and He'll be beside you all the way. That's awesome. You have a nice car and a great voice. My world's falling apart. God loves you and He'll be beside you every step of the way. That's beautiful. It rolls so well off your tongue. Is there anything to it? The last two points, though, I mean, advertising and our advertising fails people, but the last two, man, hiding from Jesus, hiding from myself. I don't struggle with God's love because of you. I'm struggling with it because of me. I'm hiding, and when in hiding, I'm distant from Him. And the first one, hiding my sin, hiding my struggle, putting out the great veneer, the makeup face, the mask. But the second one, I'm hiding just because I've bought the lie. I'm too busy. I want my family to look great. I want to look great. I want to look proper. I want to put out that. And so it becomes so distant from God that I can't even serve Him well in that way. Man, you know the stuff, don't we? I mean, we know what we're talking about here. But here's the truth about God. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, all God calls from you is this. He looks at whoever you are and whatever your struggle is, whatever you're hiding. And there's so much more I want to say. I just don't have time, man. There's so much stuff here. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Chasing that dream, chasing that life, chasing that mask, chasing the attention and the honor, the worldly glory, chasing all of those things that the world's offering you, chasing some hiding place so people will never know you, can't really see you, all those things that keep you away from God. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you'll find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The world's yoke isn't easy. Its burden's not light. No hiding or anything else. And the only thing God requires back, all He requires back, what's the first and greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And isn't that the proper response when you have chased, and trust me, we've chased, right? And we've chased and we're empty. And we've hidden and begged that someone would take a chance on cutting us and seeing what's really inside and seeing the pain and the shame. When all of that is laid bare and you look at a God that loves you, what's the only response? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. Sing this song with me for a moment. He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us all. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us all. Stand with me if you will. And he is our portion, and he is our prize, drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If his grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. And heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart, it turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way. Oh, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. And back to the chorus one time. Back to the chorus one time. There we go. And oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us, oh. All right, this morning, I just want you to remember this, okay? That you, wherever you are in all of this, stop buying the advertisement. Stop buying what's being sold you. Stop hiding. Stop thinking that you are going to buy the perfect life. Stop thinking that God is, it can never come through with whatever promise he made you. He is the God who can and will. He's not hiding from you, and don't hide from him. Whatever you desire, we're going to sit. We are standing. We're going to sing a song here. Zach's got an invitation song, and there's going to be an elder on either side of the auditorium. Why don't you come? If you